You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I've never spoken to my son about drugs.
And so how do you know?
Here's what I know. I know Trump deserves to be investigated. He is violating every basic norm of a president. You should be asking him the question, why is he on the phone with a foreign leader trying to intimidate a foreign leader, if that's what happened? That appears what happened. You should be looking at Trump. Trump's doing this because he knows I'll beat him like a drum, and he's using the abuse of power and every element of the presidency to try to do something to smear me. Everybody looked at this, and everybody's looked at it and said, there's nothing there. Ask the right questions.
Ask the right questions. Joe Biden, September 2019. This is April 6, 2022. We are asking the right questions now, Joe Biden. We were then, and we're still asking. And, of course, that all had to do with Hunter Biden, the laptop, Joe Biden, and even before the laptop. But he said, you're asking the wrong question. You need to be going after Trump and his Russian collusion. So here we are today, and now even the so-called past mainstream media, the state-controlled media, as they are now, have turned the corner, even on Joe Biden. I mean, they are exposing and acknowledging the Hunter Biden laptop is real. The emails on it are real. And there are new questions being asked. So we're asking the right questions, Joe Biden. Do you have an answer at this point? And, of course, the new events. Special Prosecutor John Durham. Now, of course, he's been tasked with finding out the source of the Russian collusion stories compiled against Trump, who was behind them, who funded them, who gathered the material, who passed them off as real to get warrants to wiretap different folks. In other words, a violation of our Constitution. And in the most recent statement, in print from John Durham in laying out his case, finding one, Hillary Clinton's lawyer at the time did lie, and they've got emails proving he lied. And two, Durham has now used the term conspiracy. That is a very big word because he used it in connection with the attorney and Hillary Clinton, and the Democrat committee, and others. We will get into that in more detail coming up later. Got a warning for you. Please listen to this. If you were buying what appear to be prescription drugs from a friend or a neighbor or using them, you need to be careful because now there are a lot of fake prescription drugs. I know they look like they're in vials you get from the drugstore, from your pharmacist, but they're fake and might contain fentanyl and causing additional death and harm. You need to buy prescription drugs direct from your pharmacist. We'll get into that in more detail. Also, Jay Richards of Heritage, focusing on protecting life, marriage, religious liberty. He says Biden is doubling down on radical gender-affirming care for kids. What the hell is gender-affirming care? It's not good. You need to know about it, and you need to know how to fight back. And speaking of that, my other guest today, Christopher Bedford, senior editor with The Federalist, says there's no future for corporate simps. In other words, those who don't have the courage to stand up to the woke culture. And he's going to tell you how the GOP can fight back. And it begins with growing a pair. Then Sean Penn was on Sean Hannity last night. Penn talking about what he saw in Belarus. Speaking of that, Randy Mayfield, pastor, missionary to Ukraine, has composed a song honoring the bravery of the Ukrainians. Here's a clip of it.
Mm-hmm. shall never die, and her glory never fade. She rings the bell of freedom, this brave nation she has made.
And we're going to let you hear more of that song from Randy Mayfield later, again praising the bravery of the Ukrainians. And some of the word coming out of Ukraine now, the atrocities continue. Sean Penn mentioned that last night on Sean Hannity, how he was horrified and actually fearful. This is going to hurt American children and hurt democracy. Yes, Sean Penn's concerned about democracy. We have a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Make sure you, your family, your friends, even your enemies, join us. You don't want to miss a single minute. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing. Covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The only thing we talked about, the only thing we felt, was the deepest sense of heartbreak. First for the Ukrainians who were going to fight, be maimed, be injured, be in a war of attrition. But very quickly, I thought, this one, my children are going to feel if this thing is not won. They're going to feel it in tangible ways in their life. Our children in America.
Our children in America will feel the effects of what's happening in Ukraine. Those are the words of actor Sean Penn. He was on Sean Hannity last night. You would call them two adversaries. And in fact, when Hannity brought Penn on to discuss what he had been seeing in Ukraine with some of his mission efforts to help, he said, when I first asked you to come on, what was your first response to me? And Sean Penn said, I don't trust you. Political adversaries. Sean Penn, obviously extremely liberal compared to Sean Hannity. But in this case, they're talking about an unprovoked war, the casualties, and the ripple effects, not just for Ukraine, but around the world. And Sean Penn acknowledging in a very emotional tone, as you could tell, I feel that it's even going to affect our American children. Now, Sean Penn was in Ukraine for a couple of reasons. One, he has a group called CORE. Community Organized Relief Effort. They move into disaster development areas when they're needed. And they've been doing so to help with everything from 2010, the earthquake in Haiti. It's when they were founded. And they've been doing a lot of work globally. And, of course, Ukraine needs help. And so he had mobilized a network of doctors and supplies and so forth to go in. And they're filming. They're documenting it. They're not doing it in the sense of trying to make him look special and use it as a PR gimmick. He's doing it to show you how bad it is and the need to help those in Ukraine. So that's why Sean Hannity had him on, to let him explain his mission and then what he saw and what he felt after it. And he interviewed Zelensky, interviewing him before the war started, and in fact apparently interviewing him on a night that suddenly it did start. And they had to walk back to their hotel from where they were because they were told, don't use your cars. If you do, don't turn on your lights. They see lights, they'll make you a target. So for Sean Penn, he was seeing firsthand what was going to be happening. But that was just the beginning. Just the beginning. Before the invasion escalated. And now, of course, we've had Russia hit the western side of Ukraine, 15 miles short of the Ukraine-Polish border. We've seen they hit the city of Mariupol along the Black Sea repeatedly. Apparently, very little is standing. The people that are still there who cannot get out are huddled, starving, no water. They're either dying because they have no food and no water, or they're ending up trying to run out and get some and get killed in the process. The video that has been coming out of Ukraine, if you've been watching any of the network news, is horrifying. And it should be. Bodies laying in streets, often bodies with their heads covered, their hands tied behind their back. That's not military action. That's execution. That's going above and beyond war. This is obviously someone who's been captured and then executed. Mariupol, been partially occupied for weeks. It's been the most brutal offensive from the Russians that has hit Mariupol since all this began in early Feb. And the city council, in a statement, put out, the killers are covering their tracks. The Russians have set up mobile crematoriums. Now, we had heard previously that they were bringing in mobile crematoriums to destroy evidence of their own dead. 10, 15,000 or more Russian troops. They did not want to ship home body bags and let the Russian people become aware of it. So they were cremating their own soldiers in the field. Now, apparently, they're also cremating citizens they've killed, especially if they executed them. Mariupol estimates, just in that city, 5,000 citizens have been killed. Sean Penn and other groups trying to get support into that city, they've been blocked for weeks. Kremlin agreed to a ceasefire last week, but then devastating shelling continued. Evacuation efforts by the International Committee of the Red Cross stalled over the weekend due to treacherous conditions. Apparently about 500 got evacuated from the city of Berdyansk, about 50 miles south of Mariupol, but they could not get to those actually still inside that area. There's also reports Russian forces are removing potential witnesses to what they've seen to, quote, filtration camps. That's a claim echoed today or yesterday by the U.S. ambassador to the U.N. Credible reports of filtration camps. The mayor of Mariupol said, this is the new Auschwitz. NATO members are meeting today, wondering what's going to be the next level of Russia's actions in Ukraine. What do we need to be ready to do? The U.S. did announce new sanctions today on Russian financial institutions, including a couple of Putin's adult daughters. I still say if you're going to put those sanctions in effect, you should have done it from the beginning. Don't do it piecemeal. Do it immediately. Now, there is a concern. Treasury Secretary Yellen is warning today, a complete ban on Russian oil You block oil exports from Russia. Many countries, especially in Europe, very dependent. And they're going to see skyrocketing prices. Yes, they are. And we are too. Prices were going up before the Putin invasion. I want to make you sure you understand that. But this will escalate it. But there are people dying, and if you don't do something to stop it, then that's where you're going to be stuck. Pay more at the pump. Maybe lives will be saved, and maybe it will come to an end sooner. It's going to be tough on Europe, and that is because they became almost totally reliant upon Russia. When during the Reagan administration, they were telling European countries, be careful your alliance with Russia. And, of course, before Biden came into office, we were energy independent. We exported. We were a net exporter. We would import some Russian fuel and so forth. It's just an additional trade arrangement. And we were still doing some even after the fighting started. That has supposedly stopped entirely. I hope to hell it has. What we need to do is refire our energy plants and efforts, contrary to the green pie-in-the-sky progressives leading Joe Biden around by the nose. But again, in this interview with Sean Hannity last night, actor Sean Penn, he started talking about a word that I shouldn't say I'm surprised to hear it come out of his mouth. Let me correct that. I was getting ready to say it was. But the fact that he's realizing the price of this word, that, I hope, sinks deep into him and all of those on the left who enjoy all the liberties, all the freedoms that we have in this nation. A price had to be paid. Sean Penn.
You and I can argue all day, but I look at you and I think you believe in this country in your way. I believe it in mine. 100%. And I think it's at risk because the great dream of it, the aspiration of it, with all its diversity, because Ukrainians, with all their unity, they got a lot of diverse thought over there, too. Mm-hmm. I think we're really at risk if we let the greatest, most historic in our lifetime fight for democracy.
Fight for democracy. All right, let's go back to the word that he's really leading up to. As he said earlier, our children will pay a price for this. We're talking about freedom.
If you invade a sovereign country, you forfeit your right to lead a country, and you forfeit your right to live, meaning Vladimir Putin has forfeited his right to live. I think that what would be most interesting about that conversation is to ask those generals, those military commanders in Russia who also have been sanctioned, whose children won't be coming to the United States for their education or going to England for their education or a lot of other places. I don't want to invest in a conversation, not that I don't have it privately, about my feelings about what direct action should happen to a leader who does that. But if there is a God, there will be vengeance beyond all possible comprehension.
That, again, the exchange between Sean Penn and Sean Hannity. And Sean Penn acknowledging, if there is a God, let me assure him, there is a God. And yes, there will be justice. Sean Hannity went on to point that out, said there is a book where you find that that will take place. But I like to think, pardon me, what Sean Penn came away from after being in Ukraine was a realization of the price of freedom, the price of democracy. See, we have all of these on the left. They refuse to stand for our flag. They call this country systemically racist, and yet more people want to come here than any other country. And we open our doors to those seeking true asylum, like we're going to with those from Ukraine, and we have from Afghanistan who are qualified. We are the beacon on the hill. Why? God has blessed this country and Israel. And Israel is surrounded by those who want to see that country destroyed immediately. We at least have some distance between us and those nations. However, with open borders and a progressive attitude that we're just going to shut down all of our energy and depend on someone else, we will soon not have that luxury of being able to say we are more than an arm's length and an ocean from our enemies. Do you think Sean Penn has a better understanding now? Am I giving him too much credit? Is it the kind of thing that some of those in the Beverly Hills area are going to say, well, yeah, he kind of got pulled into that. He didn't really mean everything he said. I'm going to take him at his word that what is happening in Ukraine, he said, I can see it having an effect upon the children of this country and our freedom. Let it ring. Coming up, how if you want to have not get a vaccination, you might be on a federal list.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
There are at least 18 federal agencies that now have rules to track religious accommodations regarding the COVID-19 vaccine. At least that number. And the latest, the Department of Homeland Security, creating or proposing tracking lists for any employees requesting religious accommodations from the COVID-19 vaccine mandate. The rule was placed in the Federal Register Friday. It allows the DHS to collect and maintain records on employees and applicants for employment that are seeking religious and medical accommodations. The notice also clarifies the Department of Homeland Security collection, use, maintenance, and dissemination of those records, as if they're going to be kept out of the hands of someone that might use them against you. The Daily Signal had reported back in January of various agencies that were doing the same thing. The Department of Justice, the Department of Health and Human Services, the Department of Transportation, Department of Treasury. Those are just some of them. And now the Department of Homeland Security, the one that's supposed to be responsible for making sure those coming across our border and into our country are properly vaxxed or protected against COVID so they don't spread it. Remember, that was the whole issue as to why you had to be vaxxed or maybe lose your job, why you had to wear a mask even if you were double vaxxed and boosted, and then you had to wear two masks. I had to go visit a relative yesterday in the hospital, and I'm walking in, I see people walking outside with a mask. I'm not putting a mask on. I'm walking in the hospital. Well, of course, I get stopped. You have to put on a mask. Now, my options are to deny it and say I've been boosted, I've got evidence here, or just say simply say I'm not going to. Well, then I'm not going to get to see the person I was trying to see. So, yes, I have to accommodate. The only way we'd make it work is if a mass of us went to the same hospital at the same time and just started flooding the elevators and going on up. Now, I don't want to risk anyone in the hospital that's sick. I don't want to make them at risk. But We have been lied to and misled so often about the dangers of COVID and what the test will or will not show and what the vaccines will or will not do. And you guys might start all over again. And the CDC even admitting, and it was posted still outside the hospital door, please maintain a 6-foot distance, according to the CDC. CDC has since admitted, we just came up with a number. There's no scientific evidence on that. So now if we have various federal agencies that are going to track employees who request religious accommodations, you have to understand the federal government is the single largest employer in the nation. It has tens of thousands of requests, religious accommodations, to avoid the vaccine. Now, there are times that information for medical exceptions is justified under the law because maybe an employer needs to make physical accommodations for you. If you have an illness or disability, they've got to provide for that. But what we're finding or what I'm worried about here is what's going to be going on with this. Well, to that extent, Senator Roger Marshall, Republican of Kansas, introducing legislation to prohibit the federal government from sharing, disclosing, disseminating information concerning religious accommodation requests from federal employees. The rules are different and vary among the agencies. They plan to collect it. What are they going to get? Your request, your name, dates of birth, and so forth. And they could be shared between federal agencies, according to the proposal by the Kansas senator. But who else is going to have access to it? How can it be used against you? Coming up, I've got a guest that says Biden is doubling down on radical gender-affirming care for kids. Do you have any idea what that means? Let me cut to the chase on it. It's not good. That story coming up.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Happy girl, taught me those things a young man should know.
Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My next guest has a PhD focusing on protecting life, marriage, religious liberty with the Heritage Foundation, Jay Richards. Jay, glad to have you on board, sir.
My pleasure. Good to be with you.
Well, I'm looking at a commentary you wrote entitled basically that Biden is doubling down on radical gender-affirming care for kids. First of all, I know you can answer, while Judge Jackson cannot answer what a woman was the other day. You can answer for me, what is gender-affirming care?
Well, gender-affirming care is a euphemism that really ought to be thought of. Your listeners ought to think of it as sex-denying. It's essentially a policy in which if someone presents, a child presents and says they have a particular gender identity, which is an entirely internal thing that they just report, not something you can observe, that we should do everything possible to change their social setting, their name, even their body and their hormones to adjust to this reported gender identity. And so it's literally a denial of biological sex, which everyone has one. You're either male or female, and adjusting that, and in fact, abrogating and canceling it in light of someone's gender identity. And the Obama White House, or the, euphemistically, the Biden White House and the Department of Justice and Health and Human Services has now effectively issued an order saying that this is how states should treat gender dysphoria with kids, is with this gender, quote, gender affirming policy, which just, you know, essentially
as you pointed out, and as you point out, this, the policy will include offering and providing, of course, at taxpayer expense, an array of services that might include medical, surgical, mental health, non-medical services for transgender and non-binary people. I mean, in other words, whatever we could do, if a child today feels, you know, I feel like I'm a boy. Everybody says I'm a boy because I like to play video games. Maybe I am a boy. And the child is confused, and we're just going to go ahead and push them down the line to be set up for transgender surgery.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, think of it as a pathway. In fact, I have a friend that calls it the school to sterilization pathway. Starts with social affirmation, in which the school changes pronouns, changes the child's name, often does this behind parents' backs. If the child's not yet in puberty, they might move to puberty blockers to prevent them from going through puberty. And then eventually you get cross-sex hormones like testosterone for girls. And then finally, quote, gender-affirming surgeries, which can mean double mastectomies and hysterectomies for girls and castration for boys. This is actually happening, and it's not just happening in the craziest parts of the country.
You mentioned the pronouns. That brings up, I had a call from a friend today who said he had had a call from a friend who's a doctor, and the doctor was saying him, he said, this is so wacko. He said, I can lose my license if I have a female patient come in and I refer to the female as either female or a girl or she, that she could file and I could lose my license. Is it gotten to that point, or is that just, you know, a complaint that could be filed and maybe they'll have a lawsuit but could go to a review board on a license? You're not using the proper pronoun that they demanded you should use for them in their records?
This absolutely could happen. As you said, I mean, what we're going to have is lawsuits, but lots and lots of physicians are terrified about this, because if the federal government and Health and Human Services, remember, they control Medicare and Medicaid and all sorts of things. If they say the standard of care is this, quote, gender affirmation, when which you put a child on the pathway to sterilization, and then you're a doctor that says, well, maybe I need to talk about the child's other comorbidities, about the fact that she's depressed or that she is on the autism spectrum, you can actually get reported, because it's as if you are withholding life-saving medical care from a child. That's how radical this is.
And against that backdrop, abortions can be performed while the fetus is viable, even in the process of being born. I mean, there is no common sense at work here. And on top of that, a lot of this gender push you point out in your article is based upon one simple control group of a Dutch study, 55 subjects, and you said really there was no control group. It was just a single flawed Dutch study. Exactly what happened there?
Well, it was essentially this study in which in the Netherlands, they tracked 54 or 55 subjects, depending on how you count them. But as you said, no control group. So in other words, any really good scientific study is going to have a control group, so they have some way to compare it, in which they applied this social transition, puberty blocking, followed by cross-sex hormones, followed by surgery. And the claim initially was that this was actually helped the outcome. So people that had gender dysphoria improved under this protocol, which we now call the Dutch protocol. That's the only scientific basis for this now national policy the United States has followed. And here's the ironic thing, is that several other countries in Europe, which are farther over the deep end than we are, as includes Finland and Sweden and now France and the UK, they're actually pulling back from this. They've been doing this and following the Dutch protocol and discovered, lo and behold, that actually, it doesn't help. It sterilizes kids and doesn't actually seem to do anything to actually help their psychological state.
So they're backing,
other countries,
they're backing out while Biden is pushing forward because of the progressive left leading him around by the nose and saying, we've got to push for this. Now, the other part of this is It's one thing to actually get to the levels you said where you've got hormone therapy, you've got puberty blockers, you've got surgery, castration, things of this nature. But children out there that just because, and depending on who's around them, like maybe a teacher and or a parent who's all about, well, whatever my child wants, I mean, I will let them do. Children, I don't know how they can live not being confused nowadays. And I feel for any child who truly is confused about if they are a boy or a girl, the same as I do it about an adult, that they are that confused. Right. I pray for them. But what I see is a push. Well, the easy thing is go with the trend. Go for surgery. Make yourself over and then see how you like that.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, that's exactly what's happening. There have always been kids. We know this historically. It's a very rare thing, mostly boys, that have this kind of gender confusion. You're basically uncomfortable with their sex bodies. What we've had happen in the last decade or so, though, is a massive explosion of teenage girls, often whole groups of girls and friends, who suddenly report with these symptoms. I mean, we're talking something like 4,400% increase in the occurrence of
Do you put that on peer pressure and internet and just what's trendy? Let's all, you know, I feel homosexual, therefore I am, but I'm really not. But everyone else is saying it's cool to be transgender, homosexual, whatever.
I would say it's a mix of things. Almost certainly social media. We know at least the studies have been done. As many as 65% of kids that initially develop these ideas actually get them from social media influencers. And then, unfortunately, as anyone that's followed the debate in Florida knows, this stuff has worked its way into the public school curriculum, even all the way down to the kindergarten level. And so unless a child is really isolated, he or she is going to be exposed to these ideas. Then you add a psychological problem that makes them susceptible to it. And unfortunately, they can pick it up. It's just as kids in previous generations have picked up ideas.
I had a story on yesterday about a transgender woman. The story was being written by a 60-year-old homosexual man admitting all this, that my friend is transgender, but she doesn't like all this transgender push going on. She said, I don't want to radicalize. This is what I did that I thought was right for me, but I don't want to be pulled and thrown into all of this whirlpool, this swamp of, yeah, everybody's on board to do it. And same thing, like you said, about doctors. And again, you're saying that, yes, if a doctor does not refer to a child by the preferred gender of that child, regardless of if they have a penis or vagina, the doctor could face repercussions?
Yes, absolutely. And this is the irony, is that even people that, you know, 5 years ago were pushing same-sex marriage and things like that, very often are now saying, you know, look, this is getting really out of hand when we're doing this to 14 and 15-year-old kids. And I think that's important to realize, is that the one thing to say, okay, what should people be sort of legally allowed to do when they're adults? That's an important discussion. But children under the age of 18, they can't consent to marry. They certainly can't consent to sex with an adult. So how can they consent to treatment that could involve their ultimate sterilization? That's the thing we need to be focused on.
Yeah, and one final note, and that is when Biden said the other day, reaffirming transgenders, I'm with you, and you were made in God's image. And my point is, no, you were not transgender made in God's image. You were made male or female, and that is, transgender is not God's image. Jay Richards, I want to thank you for being with us, and we'll do it more. There's going to be a lot more on this yet to come, obviously.
Absolutely. Good to be with you.
You bet. Jay Richards, Heritage Foundation. Coming up, I warned you in the opening monologue about some fake drugs that are flooding into the market, causing a lot of deaths. You need to know about this. I'm going to cover it now, and then we'll do more on it in the second hour. But make sure you hear what's coming up in this next segment, please. Hey, let's do lunch at Cafe Napoli 3 in St. Charles. That's right, Cafe Napoli 3, now open for lunch and Sunday brunch. So let's plan lunch or Sunday brunch at Cafe Napoli in St. Charles. Of course, you always get great food and service at each Napoli location, Clayton, Town and Country, St. Charles. But let me remind you again, for lunch or Sunday brunch, Cafe Napoli 3 in St. Charles.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We do see a large number of young people who are purchasing pills. What we know is that China is providing chemicals to Mexico, to the criminal drug networks that are then mass producing these fake prescription pills. They're being sold as if they were Xanax, as if they were Oxy, as if they were Percocet. But there is no Xanax, no Oxy, no Percocet in them. They're fentanyl.
Fentanyl. Those are the words of the DEA administrator, Ann Milgram, saying that we're seeing a large number of people who are buying these drugs. They think they're buying actual prescription drugs, but getting them at a reduced rate, maybe online, maybe in person. Maybe it comes in the kind of bottle or little vial you get from your pharmacist. But if you're not getting it from your pharmacist with a script written by your doctor, you might well be getting counterfeit drugs. Now, counterfeit drugs have been around for a long time in the sense that you take it, it's not going to do you any good. It's a placebo. It's like a sugar pill. It's not going to help you whatsoever. I mean, that goes all the way back to the Old West when you had the traveling wagon running around and doctor had a pill for everything that would cure migraine, it could cure foot pain, it would cure, you know, itching, all this stuff. Buy this bottle and give it to me now and you'll be great. But this is a dangerous situation here. We had 100,000 drug overdose deaths in the last year. Two-thirds of those involved fentanyl. And you just heard the DEA administrator admit that what we know is that China is providing chemicals to Mexico, then to the drug cartels, and then they mass produce fake prescription pills. You might think you're buying Xanax or Oxycontin. That's what you want. That's what you're willing to pay for, but you don't want to go, you can't get script for it. You might be abusing it. That could be an issue there for you. But aside from that, you're not even getting what you think you're buying. And, of course, that's also happened with illegal drugs itself. Folks want a little bit or high. They want to get a little bit more kick if they're into drugs and so forth. But it's been laced with fentanyl. It'll give you that kick. It may kick you out of this world. Overdoses at this point, cutting across all ages, every single demographic, rural, urban, suburban area. And it is the leading cause of death. Are you listening? Are you listening? The leading cause of death for men between the age of 18 and 45. Gun violence. No, not gun violence. I know, you want more gun controls. That's not it. Car wrecks. No. That's not it either. The leading cause of death of men between the age of 18 and 45 is overdose. And this administration knows, and we have repeated it constantly, as have many conservatives, when you have an open border, you're allowing more of these illegal drugs to get in. And now we're not just talking about marijuana. Now we're talking about additional pills. And now we're talking about pills that are going to be passed off as this is a real prescription pill. This is not anything meant to get you high. This is to alleviate your pain. But it's fake and it's been laced with fentanyl. You might survive. You might get a bottle of this from somebody. It's a friend. And they say, well, I got a bottle I'm not using. You can have it. And maybe they got it from a pharmacist. So that might be good. But then again, maybe they got it from someone else and they don't want to acknowledge they bought it on the black market. Or they got it from someone else who, I mean, it goes on and on and on. But the bottom line is it might not harm you if it's truly the drug you think you're buying. But if along the line that someone's either used an old bottle and filled it with these pills or made it any bottle to look like a prescription released from a pharmacy. Which, by the way, something came to my attention the other day I'll share with you. Are you aware that according to most state laws, if you're carrying loose pills in your pocket, like maybe in a little pill container, be it aspirin or anything else, or a prescription drug, like maybe you're supposed to take once every 6 hours, you don't want to carry the whole prescription bottle around with you. If you get stopped by police and they ask if you have any drugs on you, say, no, I don't have any drugs. And they take a look at it, and then they have to identify what it is, and they want to see, where's your prescription bottle that's supposed to be in? Where's the prescription that says you're entitled to have this? You could be charged because you don't have it with you. Now, we're not going to carry our prescription bottles around, right? You're going to break out what you need for that day or whatever your intent is. Maybe put them in a little carrier. But my suggestion, take a photograph of your prescription bottle or the script that was sent to go get it and the prescription bottle. Have it on your phone so you can say, look, this is what this is. I have a right to have it. I just took it out of the bottle because it's easier. Simple little fact of life and maybe something that will help you down the road. Coming up, Joe Biden all upset. Back in 19, ask the right questions. Well, they are asking the right questions. And he doesn't like it now.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.